Many people like to bundle up, and not just when it's cold. Customers who have subscriptions to multiple streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, and HBO Max often want to group them together into one monthly fee. And some streamers are open to the idea. But bundling streaming services is not quite as simple as it was under traditional cable packages. Sarah Krause is a reporter with The Wall Street Journal covering Netflix and streaming services and joins us to explain. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So who is on board with bundling? Which of the services might merge at least with others?
So there's a bunch of different forms that bundles take. One is, you know, sort of streaming services controlled by the same company like Disney's. Another is bundles born of your wireless plan. Others are membership plans. And then still others that haven't really taken off a pace yet, but I think are the next phase of this, are partnerships between streaming services owned by different companies.
You talked about Disney bundling together different services, but everything that Disney has bundled, they own.
That's right. Disney's bundle includes Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus.
And then, of course, you mentioned ones that we get as a reward for being a loyal customer or signing up with a particular cell service. I think the question for many people is, at what point, if ever, will they be able to pick and choose the way they did under a traditional cable package?
Well, in some ways that exists today, and you see customers moving in and out of streaming services, which they call sort of churning out. And that's a big business problem for these streaming companies and part of the driver of these bundles. So I don't think that it's impossible that we get to a place where there is one day a subscription model where you can pay a, you know, sort of flat monthly cost and be able to pick the streaming services you want within that. But that's not this year, and I don't even think it's next year. I think that the path that we're on is such that the next step is maybe a couple of rivals starting to partner, but not yet having that sort of participation in any sort of like centralized model where you can say, I'm going to pay, you know, $70 a month and get all of these services.
How would that be different than what used to happen with cable? I mean, there was this big backlash against cable companies. Many people decided to cut the cord, as it were. But aren't we talking about eventually heading toward a very similar model, or no?
Potentially. I mean, when you think about where we are now, there's nearly a dozen mainstream streaming services out there. And for that, you're looking at almost a $90 to $100 a month bill if you had every single one. So, you know, we're already approaching a pretty high price tag. The goal of this sort of bundling conversation is to bring down some of that cost while helping streaming services find new customers and keep the ones that they have.
We have seen cost cutting at Netflix and at HBO. There are concerns about, especially since for consumers at least, bundling, they're hoping will bring down the cost of subscribing to, six individual different services. So how is this sustainable, where on one hand you see the companies cutting costs because revenues are down, and on the other hand, consumers looking for yet more ways to reduce the cost?
It's a really challenging moment in the streaming industry. At a high level, all of the streaming services are trying to figure out a profitable way to sell streaming services to consumers, get those customers to stay with them for the long term, and continue to invest in top content. Because really the thing that sets a streaming service apart is the quality of its library and what it offers. You have to keep customers interested and feeling like they're getting a lot of value out of it. But that's really hard to do in a tougher economic environment with rising inflation, when customers are being choosier about what they spend their money on. So it's a really tricky time for the industry, where you're seeing companies try to think about how to get both growth and profitability, and that's a really hard nut to crack.
I mean, is there a sort of a saturation point for this market, where people who sign up for a subscription service are just people who just let go of a different subscription service?
We are very much confronting that moment. I mean, the U.S. is a hugely saturated market, and you have had pretty strong growth for Netflix and others over the last few years, but there's definitely been signs, particularly post-COVID or late COVID, as people are returning to travel and out-of-home activities, that the sort of question emerges, how many more households or subscribers are there to get? And if there aren't a lot more, how do we make more money off of the subscribers that we have? And that's partly why you see the launch of ad-supported tiers by Disney Plus and Netflix. It's partly why you see Netflix cracking down on password sharing. They're trying to get incrementally more revenue out of the subscribers that they already have.
Sarah Krauss covers Netflix and streaming for The Wall Street Journal. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you.